Thanks for listening to Morning Edition today here on AM 580. Now joining us with our opening commodity market report, Dave Dickey.
Thank you very much, Jay, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We give the overnight opens at 8:49 Central Time. In Kansas City, December wheat opened at 5:20, down 4 on the open. March 5:34, down 2.5. At the Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 487, down 4.5 on the open. March, 506, down 4.5. May, 491, down 2.25. July, 461, down 3.25 on the open. December corn opened at 340.5, down 4.25 on the open. March, 354.5, down 4.75. May, 362.5, down 4.5. July, 366, down 4.5. December, the red line, 344, down 6 on the open. December oats opened at 252.5, down 3 on the open. March, 261.5, down 2.5. November beans opened at 644.5, down 3.75 on the open. January, 659, down 2.25. March, 669.5, down 2.75. May, 673, down 5.5. July, 682, down 2.75. And red line November, 690, down 4 on the open. December soybean meal opened at 196.10, up 80 on the open. January, 195.50, down 40. December soybean oil opened at 27.43, down 7 on the open. January, 27.70, down 13. At the Merck, November feeders opened at 102.20, up 22.5 on the open. January, 98.42.5, unchanged. March, 97.25, up 7.5 on the open. December live cattle opened at 86.65, down 10 on the open. February, 89.70, down 40. April, 89.70, down 5 on the open. December lean hogs opened at 64.60, unchanged on the open. February, unchanged as well. The opening tick there, 67.80. April, 68.90, down 2.5 on the open. May, unchanged on the open at 72.42.5. February lean hogs open at 92.40, unchanged on the open.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Are you 100% sold on old crop corn if you re-own on paper now?
We are, yeah. After 325, we hit 325 and checked that 10-day moving average a couple days back and went below it, and we went ahead and pulled the trigger on that. So, yes, we are, and we're accruing our second 25% of our paper as we speak. So we're going from 25 to 50%. Between here and next Monday, Tuesday. So we'll be back at 50% re-owned on paper.
You doing vertical call strategy or something else?
No, not at this stage. We're doing that for the late comers only because it's very hard for producers, understandably, to come in here and buy outright calls that have, you know, gone up from 10 to 30 cents. So we've also talked to producers a lot about if you still have unsold price grain in the bin. Let's try and put together two things. In the last 46 years, this is the fourth time that we've been able to see these corn futures in the month of November be at 350 or higher. Since 1974, 1980, and 1983 were the other 3 years. Even 1995, we weren't that high. We showed 339 as the high for November 1995. So we're trying to put that together with their unpriced corn in the bin, and we're saying, going into the report, what would be the harm of buying a 330 or 340 Deese corn put to put a floor underneath you? And use that going into the report next week. A 330 put's costing around 6.5 cents. A 340 put is costing right at a dime. You're talking about a dime of cost, and you're dealing with a put that's 5 cents away from the market at this time period, Dave. So we're looking at it from that standpoint for cash flow needs and also to get them into the mindset of going from unlimited risk to limited risk strategies. But as far as the calls go, we're going ahead and buying outright calls at the higher strike price level. We still can't get our hands on the May and July calls yet, and that's been frustrating us here internally.
Some of our analysts this week have been saying for 07 corn, when D's, the nearby, broke 335, there is unlimited upside potential, and that March might even be above $4. And to that talk, they're saying, do nothing. Be patient, and you'll be rewarded when those prices eventually increase. But it seems to me that you might want to look at some hedging at this point.
Well, it goes back to the statistics, and we're always going to play the statistics at this price level, especially, Dave. And, you know, it goes back to the same thing that we always deal with when we only get these opportunities once out of every 10 years. We get out of condition on it, and we forget that it only comes about once every 10 years, and there's a better way and a smarter way to do it to protect your profit level. So we're in that mindset, and I think it's very hard for anybody to say that it's unlimited upside potential. You could say it's unlimited downside potential, too, because you know, you're not putting any kind of number on it whatsoever. We would say that the next resistance point in lead month futures is about 372. That's where the September 1996 high was, and there's really not a lot of resistance between now and there, technically speaking. But you're also looking at the fact of the matter is that the trade has shifted gears. Earlier this week, it was going into a technical correction, a mindset of retracement, and it was looking like it was going to follow the wheat down. But then the private estimates came out, and the trade changed gears and said, let's go ahead and factor in the Informa and FC Stone numbers and factor into the market a sub-800-million bushel carryover in corn coming up next week. And so that's what they're doing. And then, yes, we can go higher, and there's not a good point to say how high is because you get into that frenzy, but it's pretty hard to say it's unlimited upside at this stage. So I think the best way we would qualify it is we've had a lot of questions this week about what's the leading indicator to when the corn starts to break. We'll put it this way. For where the beans are and these estimates that have come out, putting 61 million more bushels of production on top of USDA's October report, pushing estimates probably over 600 million last week, when the next week when the Dow Jones Newswire reports come out, if you have over 600 million bushel carryover and you still see this kind of a rally in beans, people that are long corn are not going to go ahead and get out of their corn, and you're not going to have the DISO 7 corn break if the Novo 7 beans are beating it to the upside. So that's probably the best indicator we have right now is to say we're not selling any 07 corn here. We're going ahead and getting our 06 replaced first on paper, and then we'll take a look at it as we get closer to the end of the year.
What about beans then at these price levels?
That to us, between the deliveries and the report estimates, these fundamentals that are really important, even with the strong commercial stopping of beans, this is not a bullish scenario for the soybeans. In fact, we're more and more nervous. The higher beans go now, the harder it is that we can get a good solid run-up later down the road here without having South American weather or something like that on our side. But, I mean, we've done the numbers here the last couple of days in preparation for these estimates coming out over the news wires, and we would say the trade is probably trading closer to a 425 to 450 million bushel carryover, not a 550 million bushel carryover to justify these kind of cash prices we're seeing right now. So we've got a real issue on our hands with the beans, and we know part of it is the frenzy and let's go along for the ride type mindset. We saw that in 95 with beans when it was going up with corn and wheat, but we also had a really tough time later down the road with the beans and trying to generate rallies. So it's a real tough call with the beans. We like being hedged up to around 60-70%. We want to keep the last 30-40% because we're starting right now today. We're going to go ahead and lock in $7 Novo 7 beans and get up to 25% to 30% hedged here in the Novo 7.
How many bean acres do you think were bought in South America by this rally?
Well, probably, I think it's better, probably not very many. I think it's better service to say that we are assuring a 54 million to 55 million ton Brazilian crop, and we're trying to assure a 100 million metric ton crop in South America as a whole, Dave, because they're going to spray the fungicide. They're going to hit it three or four times. They're going to do what it takes to get the yield they need, and the only thing going against them or that will go for them is Mother Nature. And so that's probably the better way we would say it is that it's going to be very hard to drop below 100 million metric tons without the weather coming in and thwarting their ability to produce down there. And so that's how we're kind of putting it into the numbers.
So they're moving up from about 50 to 54 to 55.
Well, the lowest numbers we had seen was 14%. I think everybody was shaking out around 6 to 8% reduction. We would say it's probably closer to a 5 to 6% reduction because they're going to really try and push hard to get a few more acres in, but they're really going to try hard to protect their quality and protect that crop.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities, he's in Lafayette, Indiana.
The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
You're listening to WILL Urbana and the Broadcasting Service of the College of Communications at the University of Illinois. We're on the web at WILLAG.org. It's 10 o'clock Central Time.